but lift him up higher and higher. Then it says, lift him up. And then it says, starts over again, higher. It's almost like God don't have limitation on the praise.
Hallelujah.
Higher and higher, lift him up. Like, I'm not going to just be average with my praise. I'm not going to be mediocre with my praise. I'm going to lift him up higher and higher. And I'm not going to stop until he tells me it's okay. Because if I just lift him up on a higher, on a first chorus, then that's just kind of like even the playing field. But if I want to go deeper and higher, I need to keep going higher. Higher. In other words, what is he saying? We can go so high, we should be able to hear the angelic assistant saying, holy, holy, holy to our God. In other words, he says, we can join a service that's already in progress, already in the heavens. We ain't coming to be quiet, and you're not going to shut our mouths up, devil. We're going to sing unto the Lord a new song. Higher and higher. I'm not going to let stress suppress my praise. I'm not going to let financial crisis suppress my praise. I'm not going to let a faulty relationship suppress my praise. I'm going higher and higher. And if I'm not where I need to be, and if I'm not really where I'm supposed to be, then I'm going to take me higher. Let me tell you a little secret here. Sometimes your interferences, demonic and client interferences, could take you higher. In other words, when I first got saved, it was good to praise him on that level. But when he started reoccurring and showing his goodness, then my higher got higher. And my praise got deeper. And my psalms got wider. And the Spirit of the Lord just came upon me. And he's flowing through me even right now. I want the church to say, the Spirit of the Lord is flowing through me right now. I would not be suppressed. I would not be depressed. Because I'm going higher and I'm going higher. I'm not letting financial difficulty suppress my praise. I'm not going to let evil forces suppress my praise. I shall magnify him all the days of my life. I shall go deeper. I shall go higher in the spirit realm. My Bible tells me I could go from faith to faith and glory to glory. There's no limits in God. And when he's in me, there's no limits in me. Because greater is he in me than he that lives in the world. Lord, I thank you in advance. I thank you in advance for taking me higher. I thank you in advance. While I'm going higher, I'm going deeper so I can be rooted and grounded in his love. If I'm going higher, I need to be rooted because I can go higher and still fall over. And still fall over. But if I'm rooted and I'm deep in his love, in other words, if I'm anchored, I can go higher because my foundation is straight. From one level to the next level. Next thing I want to say, I will never be broke. Another day in my life. You will not suppress me, devil. The Lord rebuke you. You will not stress me out. You will not put fear in my heart. For God has not given me the spirit of fear. But he's given me the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. My mind is covered. My mind is covered. Let this mind be in me that's also in Christ Jesus. I am not the same no more. I will never be the same. Another day in my life, I'm being rebirthed as we speak in real time. I'm never going to be the same. I will not turn my back on you. Lord, I thank you for making me a living epistle read by all men. I decree and declare, I'm going to the next level. Promotion is on the horizon. Increase is on the horizon. Favor is on the horizon. Blessings is on the horizon. Promotion is on the horizon. I will never be broke. Another day in my life. Devil, you will not suppress me. I decree and declare my increase. I decree and declare healthy relationships. I decree and declare the mind of Christ. Devil, you shall not take my joy, because the joy that the Lord gave me, the world can't take it. I thank you, Lord, that I can decree your word and mean it. This is my love letter to you. I'm expressing my language. Lord, I thank you. I will never be the same. I will grow. I will grow. I will become. I will not be the same. I will not play in the sin of mud. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now the church can say amen, which means I'm in agreement with what I just said. I'm in agreement on what I just said. You would not suppress me. I would not drown in the funk of being stressed. I would not be drowned in depression. I would not be drowned based on what I see. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What he's saying is that faith has evidence. But he also said you can't see the evidence. But if faith is properly working, it will produce substance. And that substance will produce evidence. But it just can't be seen. But I can discern it that something is coming on my behalf. That something is coming on our behalf. That all things are working together for them that love God and who are the called according to his purpose. Anything that's not working shall work. Even if I don't like the way it's working for my good. It's working together for my good. Even though I can't see it working, but I have evidence that it is, because my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for taking it all the way to the cross. That's the evidence that I do have. That is my assurance that you didn't stay dead. Hallelujah. You didn't stay dead. So therefore, if you and me, then I have no right to stay dead. Hallelujah. I'm encouraging myself right now. Here's what I'm sensing. Some people just need to speak to themselves. The word says, encourage yourself in the Lord. I'm speaking to myself. I'm encouraging myself. If you get in fatigue or you get in weary, no, some people in a physical sense, they would drink Gatorade or at least a cup of Coke or water, but I have the word. I'm flushing out evil forces by putting this word in my eye gates that I meditate on something for my heart to swim in, So therefore, I won't be swamped with depression. I won't be swamped with suppression. I won't be swamped with evil forces, but I'm swimming in his presence. And I'm swimming so much that he's allowing me to be born again. God Almighty. That's what water is, to be born of the water and of the spirit. I am being birthed again. So this layer that you see, I should tear it off. I would not wear this layer on the next level. Let me give you a little something here. If you are where you are now, in order for you to get promoted, you got to take this layer off. Watch this now, because there's certain a requirement that we can't have this layer on into the new level, because it won't allow you to go through. It's almost similar to the illustration when he says the eye of the needle, because in those days there was a window. And so what happened is the people would try to get through with their camels. They had too much luggage. And so they couldn't get through the eye of the needle. So in order for them to get through, they had to take off the baggage. That baggage is our sin. And the weight and the sin that so what? Easily beset us. And so for me to go through this portal, I got to take off baggage. What are those baggage? It depends on who you are and what you are and what you've been doing. That you have accumulated a number of baggage and weights. So I'm taking off one bag at a time. Because in those bags is weights, 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 20 pounds. And so God says, before I let you go through this threshing floor, I need you to take off the weights. I need you to take off the pounds. I don't need the weights and the pounds. I just need you to go ahead and lift it up. And so that way, when we do sing and when we do praise, we can go higher. Nobody can go higher with weights on their back. Nobody. Nobody. It's like gravity. God wants us to take us higher with no weight. I'm over here. I need to strip off this layer. This layer was good for salvation. But this same layer won't be good for promotion. So I got to take this layer off. This layer is hurting me. This layer is suppressing me. This layer is slowly killing me. So I got to take the layers off. Some of you got so many layers of clothes that you need to rip off. Layers of stress. It's like the saying, like the monkeys riding your back. Take the layers off. Move the garments. I believe there's a scripture that says, he will give you the garment of praise rather than the spirit of heaviness. So that tells me we are wearing a spirit of heaviness. The question is, the trick of the enemy is we don't see what we're wearing because it's a spirit. Others can see what you're wearing before you know it. All you know is that you're feeling barred down with your back bent over. And that's all the years of stress, depression, drug abuse, alcohol use, everything that we take on that's not of God, we got to take it off. We got to take it off one layer at a time. Some people can do it miraculously and come out of it all together, but some people got to go through the layers. One zipper, buttons, whatever you got that's keeping you bound. That's keeping you bound. That's keeping me bound. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for blessing your people, your congregation, your sheep, your sons, your daughters, to give them the courage to strip off the weights, unzip the jacket, undo buttons. Anything that's terrifying your people, that's keeping them from going to the next level, remind them that you have not given them the spirit of fear. You have not given us the spirit of fear, but you've given us a spirit of love, which conquers all, power, and a sound mind, so you can think straight. So when you're emotionally wrapped up, you and I don't make sound decisions appropriately. We do things off impulse, in fear, not sure, uncertain, not sure, or wondering, am I going to receive a great outcome? Because of fear. Fear to sow yourself in the word. Not sure if this word gonna work for you because you don't see it because it's substance and it's the evidence of things not seen. Can I give you a little secret? Faith just don't be thrown at you, Sister Courtney. When you ask God to give you faith, he doesn't just give you faith, he gives you the seed. And the seed is wrapped up in the word. And then he will allow that seed to have some productivity over a protracted period of time. Now, some things he can do in a miracle, as we know he can, but there are certain things he wants you to earn it through his relationship. So you and I will never get the big head when we get where we need to go. That's why it says in Deuteronomy over 8:18, forget not the Lord thy God, for it is he that give us the power to get wealth. The first thing it says, do not forget him. Forget not the Lord, your God, my God, our God, for it is he that give us the power to get that wealth. But he said, don't forget him. Don't focus on the wealth. Focus on don't forget the Lord thy God. When you and I focus properly on the don't forget the Lord thy God, now we have a foundation. The last one, it says wealth, right? Which means that's higher. Forget not the Lord thy God is the anchoring. So we can be planted properly. So when we get wealth, we don't forget the Lord thy God. For it is he that give us the power to get it in the first place. And so the power necessarily means I'm just going to throw power. Let me break it down to you. He'll give you instructions to get it. He'll give you the resources, how to obtain it. He don't just throw power at you. He give you instructions, and those instructions will turn into power. The resources, the connection, the divine relationship, the divine contact. Are we in divine contact ministries or what? Divine relationships. Divine intervention. So he will give you the seed, the tools to get there. God don't ever throw anything at you because he needs you to know that I need you to mature in what you have. That's why Adam and Eve was able to give it up so quickly because they really didn't know what they had. You don't know what you have until you lose it. So they gave it away because they didn't know the value of what they had. Makes sense why they could throw away something like that. That was so treasurable. If they would accept it properly, we wouldn't even have sin today. So they threw away the most trusted value, and the enemy knew it. So he had to come in those forms to trick them out of the wealth. And that's what happened with some of us. Some of us got close to getting well, but then we had to go back and start all over again because we didn't understand what wealth really means. Wealth don't mean you sit on your hot pots and look down on people. Wealth don't mean that you forget about people and you start turning your nose at people. Wealth don't mean I'm better than you because I live in a different neighborhood than you. And wealth doesn't mean that you go back into the hood and show people what God did. Unless you go into the hood to make a difference. Not to ride through with your booming system. That's not why God gave you that car. And that's not why God blessing you with that vehicle. He didn't give it to you so you can boom the system through the neighborhoods. It's an object. It's not wealth. Our car is not wealth. I don't care what car you have in this earth. It's not wealth. It's an object to show you his goodness. Y'all can take your seats if you want to. I know some of you say, okay, Pastor, my feet is good. I stand just like you do. I stand for long periods of time. But I'm fighting a good fight of faith right now. And why I'm saying this, that I want you to be able to decree some things sometime when you feel the urge and the necessary. You know, you get more encouraged when you're around your brothers and sisters because like, wait a minute, I got somebody fighting with me. But when you isolated and you all alone, you like, man, I'm by myself. It don't feel the same. That's why we need a community and we need people to help push us along the way. So when you stay out and about isolated, trying to fight the enemy one-on-one, I mean, yeah, you can win, but look what it took you to get there. But I realize if I'm around some real good troopers, some ride or die, we can bust them up real quickly. Father, we thank you. We thank you. And God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. Ah, man, let's turn to Proverbs. We are having Communion Sunday today, correct? The Lord put in my spirit, we're not going to just be, you know, planning out, or we're going to do it every second, fourth Sunday. Because the thing is, let me say it this way. Do you know when Jesus is coming back? So if that's the case, because he says to do this in the remembrance of me, then you, if you know you're getting ready to take communion, then you're going to try to get yourself together for the communion. But if you don't know when communion is taken, your heart should already be right. So no longer I would say we're going to have a scheduled communion service. We're just going to do it when the Spirit of the Lord leads us. And sometimes it's going to be a spirit of moment. And if you're not in a proper spirit, don't take it. Let me give you a little tool as the pastors when I tell you, you kill yourself when you don't take it in the right manner. You bring death and damnation to you. Okay, let's turn to Proverbs. That was a blessed worship, and God bless y'all. I know y'all had a schedule, a plan for a psalmist to be here this morning. And, you know, last minute she had an emergency. You know, things happen. But amen, it'll be the right time. I think God still want to get the best out of you. He wanted to get the best out of you. Because oftentimes when we see other people doing, we don't be like, well, I don't think nobody want to hear me after this. No, God want to hear you more than anybody. I'm trying to figure where I want to start at today. Y'all give me a second. Y'all got time? All right. What do I want to start at here today? God bless you, Zoom congregation. May the Lord, Spirit of the Lord be upon you. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Amen. Look at man, we got a powerhouse up in here. Hallelujah. 4, 8, 12, 13, and probably more than that if you got a couple listening. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Look at them, man. Look at them. Bright and early, ready. Look, they mouths are open, waiting and ready to receive the word. House of bless. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. All right, so let's go to Proverbs. Let's start off with the 4:20. I'll give you some time to get there. Proverbs, it's right after Psalms. I'm going to be doing a little teaching today. I need to take my time with this word. I'm going to tell you something, man. And the reason why I believe I received this word is because even your pastor was challenged with some stuff. And dealing with some things. I tell people, I'm gonna get to this. You know, when I was talking about unforgiveness and resentment and bitterness, you know, it's when you tell people just forgive, you know, it's not easy said than done. It's really not. You know what, though? And I think I said this some weeks ago. Remember when I told you guys, be very careful what you say you would never be or you would never do? You got to be very careful with it. And I'm not saying that was my approach, but sometimes God has to remind you what it feels like. What do you mean, Pastor? Because even Jesus had to be acquainted with our grief to be able to relate and understand what we deal with day to day. And so that spirit of unforgiveness was wrapping on me. Let me tell you about unforgiveness. It's a spirit. And sometimes it don't go away right away. But if you're trying and you were asking the Lord to get this up off you, but sometimes you say, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave it there long enough so you know exactly what this feels like. So you don't be so anal, so judgmental to tell people this is so easy. It's not easy forgiving somebody. I'm going to tell you straight up. It's not. It's not. It's really not. It seems like it's easy. Well, you know, we hear the word, forgive thy neighbor as according to yours, but it's not easy forgiving people. And it even hurts more when the person that's doing the crime is in your circle. You're not going to have the same kind of effect on me, or somebody on the street won't have the same kind of effect on me as you will. Because you were around me. You know me a little more intimately than they do. So if you offend me a certain way, I'm gonna feel a certain way. Yeah. The other thing is, I'm not quite sure how long I'm going to linger with it. And it's so, you got to be careful, husbands and wives. And I'm saying this to you, those of you who are looking, you got to be very careful because sometimes your own spouse can offend you. Your own spouse right up in your nostrils can do the offense. And it's like, you know what? Oh, man, I don't know why I got to go over here. Jesus says, forgive 70 times 7. If you're a good mathematician, you know it's 490. But he says you can't forgive just 490 times. You got to forgive. Sometimes you got to forgive reoccurring. Because you know what's so crazy about it? The person that does the crime, they'll keep doing the same thing. And God's telling you still forgive them. God, how much you want me to take of this? How? How much you think I can bear that they're doing the very same crime in my face? Like it's okay. Like they got license to do what they want to do, my God. And so pre-salvation, here's the thing. We don't know how to navigate through hurt, pain, and being bruised. But post-salvation, God gives you tools and resources how to be able to navigate bruising and pain. But even with the tools, it doesn't mean it's going to go away right away. Shucks, man. And so this is the thing. See, the enemy, he's so cunning and slick. He knows that if we got any unforgiveness in our heart, it will stop you from getting your promotion. Some of us, those are the clothes that I'm referring to that we got to take off before we get over to the other side. What's stopping me? It ain't the devil. It's my flesh. So what do I got to do with this flesh, Lord? Give me the tools. He says some things come through what? Fasting and prayer. In other words, I won't be able to forgive this individual who done this. You know, man, I'm going to tell you, I don't care who they are. Never, ever give anybody all of your heart. Yeah. Nobody. No, what I say? Nobody. Do not do it. What you're doing is you're gambling your mental state and you're putting all your trust in that individual. Because they've expressed some kind words to you, you gambled. It's almost like putting stock. But what if it crashed? What if that Wall Street individual crashed? Now you just went spiritually what? Bankrupt. So my apologies to all of you that saying it's very, you could just forgive. You know, listen, my apologies, understanding that I had to be wrapped up with it. Yeah. Just to know what it's like. To make sure I could combat, like, this does not feel good. It's almost like bringing sickness to your body. That you don't feel the same. You feel awkward. You feel heavy. You emotionally are tied. And you got to work all through. Let me tell you something, somebody. I don't care who you are, how great your therapist is. They can't get you out of that. No medication can get you out of that. There's certain things that you and I have to work through only through the word of God. And some of those things take time. Depending on how much you've been drowning in unforgiveness. If you've been 6 feet deep or whether you was 12 feet deep. Some people right now, they don't even realize that they still got some resentment and unforgiveness pre-salvation. What happens is, though, let me tell you how it works. Sometimes as you go through your youth into your adulthood, you tend to forget about it until someone in your adulthood do something very thing that you did when you was a child. And it brings back all of those spirits. It's like, what's the word I want to use? It's like triggers. It's the triggers that help you get into your adult. You thought you got over it until someone in your adulthood and said, and the great part about it is that God was like, you really didn't get over it. I'll have to show you. By allowing, this is what God, I'm allowing it to happen so you would know that you never got over it when you was a child. And I believe that's what shaped a lot of us as an adult right now, why we do some of the things and behave the way we behave. You know what, I'm going to tell you something? There's a scripture that says, God, I'm already God Almighty. Okay, let me get in there. Let me just jump right up in there. Let me jump right in there. Let me read it from the NIV version. I'm going to 423 now. I know I was telling you about going there. But what it says here, let's go to NIV. Y'all want to help me read this? NIV version in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Can y'all read with me what it says? Above all what? Above all, let's start over. Above what? Above all else, guard your what? For everything you do, what happens? There's some translation says protect it. Guard it. Shield it. Now, I want to take this Ephesians real quick. The Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. I want to use the Amplified version for those of you who have Amplified, those of you who have NIV, those who have New King James Version. I'm going to bob and weave through different scriptures so we can be able to get a better translation on where we are. I don't know if I want to name this message church hurt or heart issue. I think a heart issue would suffice. Heart issue. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. I'm going to wait for my Zoom congregation. Instead of me moving on, let me see if they got their thumbs up. Y'all got that word? Y'all ready with me? Yeah. Okay, good. Because I need somebody to fire up with me. The more arrows that keep coming at this enemy, the more we will be able to overcome. Because it ain't just me fighting my body. Okay, let me read this here. He says, above all, and this is the Amplified version, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Above all, lift up what? Your shield. Now, in this, it says protective shield of faith, which can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, look at this now. Police officers, what do they wear around their chest? Bulletproof to what? Hopefully protect most vital parts of your being or your organs. And so this is what the word of the Lord is saying. We got to protect it at all costs. Let me tell you something. The heart is surrounded by a protective double-layered sack. God Almighty. Oh, man. Let me read another version here. Let me go back to Proverbs. Let me read the New King James Version. Keep your heart with what? All diligence. For out of it springs the issues of life. When you and I refer to the heart, how it's surrounded by a protective double-layered sac called a pericardium, you know what that means. That is a fibrous that's supposed to protect. It's like it's anchored around the heart. It protects certain things from coming at you. In other words, what I'm saying to you, sometimes we know our heart builds fluid from the human standpoint, but even fluid, too much of it can cause you issues. What they call an inflammatory, it inflames. And so those are the things that comes in our heart when people abuse you and they do certain things, it inflames. So he says, use that term for a protective guard. The word that he's given Solomon, it was David that gave Solomon these instructions. He says that word, the protective gear that you're supposed to use is supposed to be similar to you locking the doors of your home. And the word in there supposed to be related relatively to the alarm. So in case somebody try to trespass, your alarm would go off. Anybody ever had unforgiveness? Anybody here ever experienced some hurt even in their own home? How about childhood? Things that you came up in, how parents might have said certain things, did certain things, how they treated their other siblings, versus how they treated you. Oh, well, you didn't have that issue. Maybe you was the favorite one, but maybe you got mistreated in a relationship, your first relationship that you still scarred from to this day. How about the first marriage? Oh, God, have mercy. How much did it cost you in that first rodeo you went through? And some of you, you want to get married, but you're scared. You're fearing, based on what that woman or that male put you through, you don't want to experience that ever again. Oh, Lord, help you if you've seen your own parents experience certain things. You saying, if this is what it looks like, I don't want no part of it. I'd rather stay single and just have a living girlfriend or a living boyfriend and we could just have some children. Let me read another translation here. Let me read Proverbs 4:21 NIV version. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. Now, I want to read verse 22. Hold on a second here. My son, this is David talking to Solomon, King Solomon. My son, he says, give attention to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. This is the 21 I want to get to. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Now, look what it says next. Keep them in the midst of your what? So what he's saying is that that word have to be in there to help navigate or combat issues that will spring from what? Life. Everything somebody did to you, it's a layer. Whether you know how much layers, sometimes it can be two. It may not be enough, but it can be that 20-pound weight that will knock you out, depending on where the blow is coming from. Let me tell you something. When you're in this type of situation, it's almost like you're being jumped. You don't know where the licks is coming from. But then when you get into a trusted environment, and that's why you can't even trust everybody in the house. Yeah, you got to hear me. What I'm saying is, just because they are sheep, they can fall too. Then you have to be careful, because even sheep can pretend to be sheep, but they have wolf mindsets with sheep clothing. But they sit right among you. They say hallelujah just as well. They know the word. All of a sudden, they can counsel you through things, and they know the word, and they can tell you the word of the Lord is, and they can put you in all these different scriptures, but then they walking around like a hireling themselves. It's amazing how some of us don't even realize we're being used by the enemy. But we say it is God. Let me read this one here. Let me go to the Amplified. Watch over your heart with all diligence. Far from it flows the springs of life. It's comparable to the Holy Spirit. And he says, it shall be springing up to everlasting life. He's saying that's what issues are. From the positive standpoint, the Holy Spirit is a fountain of water overflowing. But that's what issues are. That's what issues look like as well. A fountain of problems. Reoccurring. Why do you think some people, you know what, I'm going to say it this way. Ah, Lord have mercy. Why do you think some people can't stay in one marriage? Because they've been so abused by the first one. By the time they get to the second one, they still bringing over what they've been through in the first one over to the second one. Because you never got delivered from the first one. You haven't got healed from the, so automatically what happens is that your mind would tell you, you alone. Yeah, that's real. Those are real urges. I'm alone. But your spirit is like, we still bruising. We still healing. We not ready yet. Oh, God Almighty. We always blame the other person. What they do, what they don't do. But we don't really look deep down in ourselves what we do. What role do we play? And the outcome of divorces, broken marriages, broken family. There's a role we play. We can blame everyone else, but what did you do? Here, let me give you a flip side to this. There's some people still trying to forgive you for what you did. But because you're so consumed with what they did, you're trying to forgive them for what they did. Because you're only looking at what, you know what we do? We got this real covered. We're good. We play the victim card all the time. Nobody's wrong but us. We're not wrong. Everybody else is wrong but us. Everybody did this. Everybody put these offenses. They did this to me and they did that to me. Well, what did you do? What caused this? Now, some people, obviously, when you was a child, you had no choice in the matter. There are certain things that just been handed to you. What they call that? Ungodly inheritance. I had no choice but to do it because my daddy wasn't right. My daddy wasn't in place. All I see what he did. So therefore, there's an opportunity that I could be just like him. If you ain't careful. No, I'm going to get in trouble here. Lord help me. If your daddy was a drunk or a drug abuser, 9 times out of 10, if you're not careful, you would be the same way. If your daddy slapped around your mama and everybody else, then you're going to end up being that same person as you grow up in that household. Because you're going to think that that's okay. If you was verbally abusive and you seen your father verbally abusing your mother, 9 times out of 10, you're going to do the same thing. If you ain't careful. And that's what happens, what you call generational curses. No wonder Abraham had to get away from his father, Terah. We don't know what Terah was up to. According to his history, they said he was an idol worshiper, but there's more to that. When God tells you to get away from your family and get away from your kindred, he's telling you break generational curses, because as long as you stay around, you're going to inherit what they're doing. You would never have a healthy marriage or a healthy family as long as you see what you keep seeing. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You want to get delivered? Sometimes you got to set yourself apart. But I love them. Oh, yeah, I know you love them. But they're hurting you, little Jimmy. Yeah, you can love them, but I can love you for a distance. Abraham, get from your kindred. Get from your, because, see, when God got plans and purpose for you and I, he has to set you apart first before he give it to you, because he can't trust you with it. So he has to set you apart to make sure you're getting cleaned up, making sure those layers come up off you. So by the time you get to that destination, you ain't attached to that curse. Guard your heart. Guard it with all diligence. Protect it at all costs. In other words, what I'm saying to you, don't ever give everybody, including your spouse, all your heart. Because watch this now. There's always room for them to. There's certain things about us, even God says not to give. Give it all up to him. But what the Proverbs 3:4-5 says, trust in the Lord with all what? All your heart. That's the only person you should be letting your head, you should be vulnerable to, God himself. But we don't know how to do that. Why is it so simple for us to let our guard down from somebody? You know what? Can I be honest? You know, we know fools. God ain't make no dummies. Every last one of us see red flags before we see. We know when somebody using us. We know when somebody's trying to abuse us. We know when somebody's trying to pull a wool over our eyes. It's just up to you whether you want to stop it on the tracks right then and there. Because you was gambling, brother. You was gambling that dice. You was hoping you didn't get snake eyes. Yeah. You was rolling, playing Russian roulette with your soul. Giving that doll baby your heart, knowing she was going to take advantage of you. Oh, God almighty, man. You know, look, man, look. It's nobody's fault. When you see certain things, you may not have the Holy Spirit in you as you might have thought, but the Holy Spirit was always working. We just came to the knowledge that he was working. We know when people are taking advantage. You know when they're trying to pull a wool over your eyes. You know when they're trying to steal your heart and then and do something crazy. You know it. You knew you saw those flags when you knew it was a good chance that she can go ahead and mess around with your homeboy down the street. You already knew it. You already seen the signs. But what you tried to do, I get it. I see it. You try to buy it with other objects. I don't have this, but I have this. Let me tell you something. Men, you don't realize, women don't, it's not your money that they're really attracted to. Yeah, that's a good tool and a good measure, but it's something else. I've seen this before. I seen a person that didn't really have it going on. Then I seen another individual who had it going on. They would date the I got it going on, but they really sneaking with the one that don't got it going on. It's something with that. If you notice that, because it's something in them that attracts you to them. But what you're doing, I'm looking at the security measure on what this brother has. So it's a security measure. And so that's the part when he says, guard your heart, even from that. because out of it flows the issues of life. You see what you can possibly get from this mail. I could get this, I could get that, I could take advantage of this, he could take me on trips here, I can get some jewelry here, I can get this and I get that, but the guy down the street can't do none of it. Oh Lord, I'm gonna say something real disgusting here. But you know what's so happiness? But you love the way he's intimate with you. So that's why you go back over here. He listens to you. He knows what stimulates your mind. So it's not the money that's attractive. I need the money, but I want you. They will marry security, but cheat on unfortunate. I'm talking to what? Guard your heart. Lock it down with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Whatever is associated with that life. Men, stop trying to buy the girl on the street. Don't do it. Don't. Women can see you coming. You know what, man? Y'all got to really get smart here. Man, you're not picking a woman. She already saw you coming before you got to her. You ain't that deep, that cute, that's... No, I'm going to tell you, man, you really missing it. She already embraced you before you walked up to her. So by the time you open your mouth, it seemed like it was easy. It's because it was, because she already accepted it. Men, just stop trying to use your money, your job, your car. Don't use those things, because that's exactly what you're putting on the front line. And so if you don't get the result that you're looking for, it's because you put the wrong things out in the front. So even in that respect, in that regard, you ain't guarding your heart. So there's different ways of guarding it. Some men are smart enough not to even show the man, or show the woman rather, on what they have. They ain't gonna tell them how much they make. Then, matter of fact, they'll take a hoopty and meet that girl just to see if they really want me. I'm not gonna show you my best first. Only person you show your best first to is God. But if you're trying to buy her, or you're trying to buy him, it's not gonna work. Guard your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. Diligence. Being consistent. Being consistent. I tell you, which is difficult for us, when we get around other sheep, we tend to let our guards down. We still got to somewhat keep a little bit, and I'm not saying be defensive, but somewhat keep a little room in case they error, it won't catch you off guard. It's very difficult because we get comfortable around other sheep. So therefore, you like, I can let my guard down. No, God says, no, guard it. Guard it. Not be defensive, but guard it. Give them room for error. Let me tell you something, why unforgiveness is so hard too. It's because if the more you give out, the more there's a potential that you could be abused. You don't really have nothing to bounce back from that bruising. So, you know when some people are very distraught over their loved one or husband or wife, they so distraught is because they gave them all. They gave them everything that they can offer because they trusted that individual with their heart. You know, the heart is a metaphor for the mind. We're going to go into our communion in a bit. And this is the reason why the Lord was saying, okay, this morning, go ahead and go into communion this morning. But I want to make sure that your heart is right before accepting the communion. Your heart got to be right. My heart got to be right. Our heart got to be right. Because here, what this communion, what it does, it heals you. Because he was what? Bruised for our what? Iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes, we healed. That's why he said, do this in the remembrance of me. So when we take this communion, it's not just for, you know, religious sake. We're doing this with healing. You're not going to just be healed mentally. You can be healed physically. Do you know that this grape juice that we're about to take represents the blood? He wanted to make sure that our hearts is right. And I thought about Jesus. I visualized this at the moment, at the Last Supper. He's sitting there with the 12. At the time, Judas Iscariot was still around before the betrayal. He said, one is going to betray me. Everybody like, no, Lord, not me. You know what we do. You know how we do. We do it good. No, not me. I would never do that to you, Pastor. I would never do that to you. No, not you. No, all of what you did for me, you blessed me here. You healed me there. Oh, no, I would never, ever, 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 ever. I would never, ever, ever, ever do that to you. Jesus, I could imagine his thoughts. Matthew chapter 26, verse 23 through 26. I could imagine his thoughts. He's saying, oh man, these guys have no idea. I already seen what you're about to do. I saw you do it before you knew you were going to do it. So even Jesus had to guard his heart at the Last Supper. Look at this now. Can I get a little deep here? He's sitting amongst his brethren, his disciples, his apostles. When you're breaking bread, you are comfortable. You with your buddies, with your girls, with you relaxed. You chilling. Everybody chilling. They drinking their wine. We having a good old time. But that's the time to be relaxed. But his heart had to be shielded because he already gave, God gave him the word that it's going to be some betrayal right amongst you. He says, the one who dips his hand in the same way is the one who shall betray me. The one who dips his heel shall, did he say heel? If that's the termination, the one who dips his bread the same way, he says, that's the one who's going to betray me. That's the one. I will never forsake you. The next one, Peter, you're going to do it too. Before the cock crow, you're going to deny me three times. Keep this in mind. Here's the one giving the supper. And given his blood before the blood, but he still had to walk in forgiveness because he knew what they were about to do. Can you imagine, though, evangelist, that he's, you know who's among you and what they're going to do next before they know it? You got to imagine the hurt in the heart, how your heart, that's what God says, guard your heart with all perseverance, all diligence, guard it. Put locks on the door. Put an alarm system in place. In fact, add some cameras to it so you can see them coming. You sitting around your betrayal and you're feeding them. Not only are you going to feed them, but you're going to give them your life. The same betrayal, I'm going to give my life to you too. Come on, man. When he said, turn the other cheek, when I first got saved, I said, he got to be crazy. Turn the other cheek? I don't like that saying. That's telling me that I have no control or response and I'm going to give that person for doing what he did to me. Because one of the things about me, I'm passive aggressive at that time, and now I've become very, very outspoken now in my older age. I don't mind what I say anymore, I guess because I'm getting older, but maybe because the Holy Spirit is just moving. But the thing about it is, I would have kept a grudge, and I'll say, I'll get you. It won't be no time soon, but I'll get you. I'm going to get you. You don't know it. You're not going to see it coming. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait till your guards is down before I put this on you. I'm going to even befriend you to make think everything is good. That was old me. And I still have to be careful because even that old me can sneak up to the new me. I'm telling you too, that old me can sneak up to the new me if you're not careful. And so you have to constantly be on your face. Lord, help me through this. because you know what I'm capable of doing. And he watched him. He's sitting at that table with all the betrayers. I will never do this. Not one of them helped him carry that cross. Not one. They found another man to help him carry that cross. It's almost like this, you know, a stranger would do something for your own relatives. Typically, we let our head down for the boys we grew up with, for the homegirls we grew up with, for the people we partied with, for the people we went into school with, for the people we used to get boyfriends with, and the people we used to, we know they all ride or die. No, they're not. They're not. They're not. They can only go to a certain extent with you. Let us get our communion. Those of you, get your communion ready. When you get ready to take this communion, be very, very intentional. Be very serious about what you're about to partake. You are taking the Lord's Supper. Can I say it this way? Think of it as him still talking and we still amongst him. Are you going to betray him? You probably said, no, I'm not going to ever do that. We always do. We always seem to find ourselves on the wrong side of the fence. Always. This is a good time to examine your heart. If I'm even worthy of taking this, the Lord's Supper. This is a very serious act. I wouldn't advise you to do it if you know you're not right there. But on the other token, on the flip side, it will bring healing to you. And the truth of the matter is, none of us all deserve this blood. And if we think that we deserve it, sometimes you got to ask yourself, do I? I'm about to accept the Lord's blood on the inside of me. I'm allowing that blood to go through my streams with the fact that this is another tool for me to forgive. It's going to help me heal. I forgive, but now it's got to help me heal. It's got to help me heal. And some people really, they're really good. They put on a good front on your day-to-day. Everything is popping. Everything is good. I got this rolling. But deep down inside, you broken because of betrayal, because of unforgiveness, because someone did something that really caused you to be on the defense. And you know what? That's why we have most people in the church, they hurting. They're hurting. I almost feel like I need to call for salvation and rededication along with this. Honestly, no, I have to do this all together. Never been done, but all together. I'm even going, at the same time, you taking communion, yes, we're going to go through our communion, but we went through it a little different than we typically do. It don't always have to be traditional and the same. But I'm praying for some people right now, anybody on the internet, anybody on Zoom, that really like, man, listen, this is hitting hard. There's some things that's still afflicting me when I was a child and it grew up with me, and I'm still getting those type of, it's just like those triggers keeps coming back. I'm not over it as I thought I was. I thought I was good until I met Suzanne. I thought I was good till I met Harry. I thought I was good till I met Bobo. Thought I was good till I met Shaniqua. I thought I was good. But I'm really not good. I'm broken. My heart is broken. It aches when no one's around me. And I feel like I'm putting all this on myself. I got this weight on me. The weight of sin that so easily beset me. You can't serve the Lord with those weights. You can't have a proper, healthy marriage with weights. You can't be a good parent with weights. You can't be a good manager with weights. You can't be a business owner with weights. You cannot be a leader or a pastor or a minister or first lady with weights on you. Not a good one, not effective one. Not effective. You can't be a husband with those weights. How can I have a healthy relationship working towards marriage when I'm broken myself and all I see was brokenness? How? How can I function? Because deep down inside, you know, people don't really tell you, I'm afraid to commit because all of what I see go before me, I'm not quite sure if this is going to really work. I would like to be in love. I would like to be in a relationship. I would like to be in a good space. But based on what I've seen my parents do, I'm a little fickle because those are the ones I held in high esteem. All I saw was drunkards and drug abusers and pimps and pushers. That's all I saw. What are you expecting from me? I grew up all around it. I don't know anything else. All I know is what I've seen. And so when I get into a relationship, there's a good chance that I'm going to let it infiltrate into my adulthood, into my offspring. It's the reason why some people have a hard time committing. There's a reason. It's a reason. It's a reason. It's a reason why people don't want to commit. It's fear. It's not because they don't really want to commit. Because everybody here is not a dog. Everybody here is not that type of person. It's that they have fear to commit. Because they seem, based on their past, I don't necessarily know what that means, what that look like. But I know that I need to be loved, and I do know I have love in me to give out, but I don't know because my heart has been bruised prior to meeting you. I was in a relationship that I really thought I was going to be in this life, this person's life, and it turns out it didn't work out that way. And what comes with that is the embarrassment because everybody saw me in a good space, and then they see me later on, and it's like, Dad, what happened? Nobody wants to be embarrassed. Anybody, by any chance, I need healing.